Chapter 9. A Sudden Rescue. It was 7 in the morning when Mr. Fogg, Aouda, and Passepartout set foot in America. The first thing Mr. Fogg did was find out when the first train left for New York. He learned that this was at 6 o'clock p.m. He had, therefore, an entire day to spend in the big city. Finding a carriage, he and his two companions set out for a hotel. After breakfast, Mr. Fogg and Aouda went in search of the English consulate to have his passport stamped with a visa. On the way, Passepartout asked Mr. Fogg if he should buy some revolvers before taking the train that day. He had been listening to stories of attacks upon the trains by the Sioux. Mr. Fogg didn't think this was necessary, but he told Passepartout to do what he thought was best. On the streets of San Francisco, Mr. Fogg and Aouda ran into Mr. Fix. The detective pretended to be surprised to see them in America. Fix, who was determined not to lose sight of his robber, asked permission to accompany them on their walk around San Francisco. Mr. Fogg kindly agreed. Once dinner was over, the passengers took a carriage to the train station. They arrived at 6:15 and found the train ready to depart. The train soon started off at full speed for New York. The journey was to take 7 days and would enable Phileas Fogg, or so he hoped, to take a steamship from New York on December 11th to Liverpool. A few days into the journey, and after passing the Rocky Mountains, there was reason to hope that no accident would mark the trip through this difficult country. The snow had stopped falling and the air was clear. After breakfast one morning, Mr. Fogg and his companions had just resumed their game of whist when a sharp whistling was heard and the train suddenly stopped. Passepartout rushed out to see what the problem was. The engineer and conductor were talking excitedly with the signalman. Some passengers gathered around the men to take part in the discussion. Passepartout joined the group of people and heard the signalman say, "No, you can't pass. The bridge at Medicine Bow is shaky and won't bear the weight of the train." Here was a hindrance which all of his master's money could not remove. Passepartout knew that he must tell his master at once what had occurred. He was about to hop back on the train to deliver the bad news when he heard the engineer say, "Gentlemen, perhaps there is a way to get over the bridge." "But the bridge isn't safe," replied the conductor. "No matter," replied the engineer. "I think that by traveling at the very highest speed, we might have a chance of getting over." The idea seemed crazy to Passepartout, but a number of passengers were attracted to the engineer's proposal. It was soon agreed upon, and the passengers resumed their places in the train cars. The train was moved back nearly a mile. Then a whistle was sounded, and the train began to move forward at an increased speed. Soon the rapidity of the train became quite frightening as it rushed forward at 100 miles an hour. Then, like a flash, the train passed over the bridge. It was as if the train leaped from one side of the river to the other, and the engineer could not stop it until it had gone 5 miles beyond the next station. After that, the train continued on its course without further interruption. 4 days and nights more would probably bring them to New York. Phileas Fogg was not yet worried about his schedule. The train was slightly behind schedule, but major time had not been lost. It seemed like they would make New York in time to start the next leg of the journey. The train had just passed Plum Creek Station when suddenly wild cries filled the air, accompanied by gunshots. Cries of terror were heard from inside the train cars. Hearing the commotion, Mr. Fogg, Passepartout, and Fix quickly emerged from their car, revolvers in hand. They quickly realized that the train was being attacked by a band of Sioux natives. The Sioux were armed with guns, but luckily so were most of the passengers. The Sioux had invaded the cars and were fighting hand to hand with the passengers. Constant cries and shouts were heard. The travelers defended themselves bravely. Some of the passengers, shot or shocked by the scene, lay on the seats. The invasion could only end if the train was stopped at the next station, Fort Kearney, where a group of soldiers was assigned. If the station were passed, the Sioux would be masters of the train. "Unless the train is stopped in 5 minutes, we will lose this struggle," shouted the conductor, who was fighting alongside Mr. Fogg and Passepartout.
"I will stop the train," cried Passepartout.
Passepartout quickly slipped out, unnoticed by any natives, and began creeping from car to car until he reached the front of the train. There, he managed to pull the brakes, and at last the train stopped, less than 100 feet from Fort Kearney Station. The soldiers of the fort, hearing shots fired and the commotion of the screeching train, hurried to help. The Sioux had no wish to fight the soldiers and jumped out before the train had entirely stopped. At the station platform, the passengers were counted, and it was determined that 3 people, including Passepartout, had disappeared. Aouda was safe, and Phileas Fogg, who had been in the middle of the fight, had not received a scratch. Fix was slightly wounded in the arm. Phileas Fogg had a serious decision to make. If his servant was a prisoner of the natives, he would have to risk everything to rescue him. The delay of a single day would make him miss the steamship in New York, and his bet would be certainly lost. Nonetheless, he did not hesitate to look for his servant. The commanding officer of Fort Kearney was there. 100 of his soldiers had placed themselves in a position to protect the station in case the Sioux decided to attack it. "Passepartout may have been taken by the Sioux. I will go find him," said Mr. Fogg.
"No, sir, you will not go alone," said the officer.
He then chose 30 men to help Phileas Fogg. Fix stayed with Aouda, and Mr. Fogg went off with his little squad in search of Passepartout. The cold night soon passed, and at dawn, those still waiting at the station saw no sign of Phileas Fogg or the other men. The captain of the fort was wondering what course to take next when the sound of guns being fired was suddenly heard. The soldiers rushed out of the fort. Half a mile off, they could see the little squad finally returning. Mr. Fogg was leading the way in front of the others. Just behind him were Passepartout and the other 2 travelers, rescued from the Sioux. All were welcomed with joyful cries. When everyone was reunited, Mr. Fogg said,
"When does the next train pass here?"
"Not until this evening," replied the fort's captain.
"Oh, I see," said Phileas Fogg, as calmly as ever. He was now 20 hours behind time. Fix, understanding the problem, approached Mr. Fogg and said,
"Is it absolutely necessary that you should be in New York on the 11th, before 9 o'clock in the evening, the time that the steamship leaves for Liverpool?"
"It is absolutely necessary."
"And if your journey had not been interrupted by these natives, you would have reached New York on the morning of December 11th.
Fix continued. "Yes, we would have arrived with 11 hours to spare before the ship sailed," replied Mr. Fogg.
"Well then, you are therefore 20 hours behind. 20 minus 12 leaves 8. You must get 8 hours back. Do you wish to try to do so?"
"On foot?" asked Mr. Fogg.
"No, on a sled with sails. A man has proposed such a method to me."
Fix then pointed to a man standing in front of the station. Mr. Fogg approached the man, whose name was Mudge. Mudge led Mr. Fogg to a nearby hut. Inside the hut, Mr. Fogg examined a curious vehicle. It looked like a small sailboat with 1 mast, but it could travel quickly across the frozen fields. Mr. Fogg happily made a bargain with the owner of the sled. The weather was clear, and Mudge was confident of being able to carry Mr. Fogg to Omaha. From there, the trains ran frequently to Chicago and New York. It was not impossible that the time lost might still be recovered. At 8 o'clock, the sled was ready to go. The passengers, including Fix, took their places in it and wrapped themselves up in their traveling cloaks. The 2 great sails were raised, and under the pressure of the wind, the sled moved over the hardened snow at about 40 miles an hour. If no accidents happened, the distance to Omaha might be covered in 5 hours. The sled sped on as the travelers stayed close together to keep warm. Phileas Fogg only had 2 things to fear,
an accident and a change or calm in the wind that carried them along. The sled stopped at last, and Mudge said, "We have arrived!"
Passepartout and Fix jumped off before helping Mr. Fogg and Aouda get out of the sled. Mudge was generously rewarded for getting everyone to the railway station on time. A train was ready to leave when Mr. Fogg and the others reached the station. They barely had time to get into the cars before the train pulled away.